sing the chorus to "He's All I Need, He's All I Need, Jesus Is All I Need." All right, I think that's pretty close to the right words, but 318 in your rhythm. Thanksgiving week, right? So, thank you, Lord. Count your blessings. Thank you.
One blessing.
Thank you, the Lord saved me for his grace and mercy in my life, my family. Salvation.
I want to say family.
So blessed?
Yes.
Not everybody has to say the same thing.
Saving my soul.
I thank God for the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Save my soul.
I thank God for my wife and this church. Anybody out here?
The freedom to worship.
Thank God for all my good church friends.
Yep. Amen.
I thank God for faith.
Me too.
I just thank him for being in my life.
Amen.
You know, if we really wanted to count our blessings, it'd take a while. We start at the top, of course, with salvation. We go down to our family, our spouses, our wife, our children, grandchildren, church, family, friends, neighbors. I mean, we could go all day long. But we don't take time to do that very often. So this morning we're singing lots of songs. Well, I say lots of songs. Thankful songs. 293. 293.
Change in my life and in my
I'm so glad that he came into my heart to live and abide and stay. And by God's grace and his help, I'll try not chasing him away. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Want to go to the Lord in prayer again. I thank God for all that he's done. I'm thanking him this morning that the Neda's test come back and there's no cancer. We just thank him for that. She's still having problems and hurting, so you keep her in your prayers as they continue to try to figure out what's going on, but lifting her up. Thank you for those. Remember to continue to pray for Brother Mike. Glad he's here with us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Did you bring your cane, brother? He didn't bring his cane. He told me he was going to yesterday. He said he'd probably bring it today. And I was just going to say, don't make him mad if he's got it, all right? anyways, thanking the Lord for what he's done there and getting him through that quickly. Remember Raymond Humphrey's got knee surgery. Remember the Bossinger Reardon family this week, the passing of Nick. Sister Barbara gets her MRI follow-up on Tuesday. Or to see the neurosurgeon. Is that when they're going to talk to you?
Consult.
Okay. So remember that. Rick is home from MD Anderson, so remember that in your prayers. And Brother Jerry's MRI. So, any others this morning?
Billy Epigrove next door to me had his surgery and done real good.
And pray for him. Remember Sister Joanne, Brother Beal.
I haven't heard nothing. I need to call and see what's happened, Brother. I haven't heard no more.
Anybody else? Unspoken this morning? Stand with us this morning. The ushers come. Father, we thank you today. We praise you, Lord. Grateful, Father, for our blessings that you've bestowed upon us, dear God. Father, we couldn't count them all. We know that because there's many of them, Father, we don't even realize that you've given and that you've done. Lord, there's a lot of folks to this week, dear God, who go through times and the hurts and the pains. Lord, we pray just touch them. Help them, precious God, and give them the strength they need. Lord, ask you this morning, Father, touch the bodies of those that are healed. God, lay your hand upon them, heal them, work in their lives, Father, whatever your desire is, and help us receive that. Lord, we ask you just now that you just help us the remaining part of the service. Lord, bless the offering. Let it be used for thy glory. We'll praise you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen.
Thank you.
came before.
I don't know that one.
Well, let me sing it. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's what I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That was a song put on my heart this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Want us to think about something this morning. I'm not preaching the thought that I originally had. Instead, I'm going to preach the thought that God gave me that I thought maybe I'd preach tonight. I studied, looked at it this morning briefly. The word comfort's found 66 times in your Bible. Now, how many books are in your Bible?
66.
So it should be no surprise that if you'll read the Bible, you'll find comfort. I mean, it's found one time for every book in your Bible. Now, I'm not going to preach necessarily on comfort this morning. But I want you to know something that as we live in this day, we ought to comfort one another. The best comfort I know to get is from God's Word. And all these songs this morning, I'll be honest with you, had them picked out this morning, rather. And the message is totally what I thought I'd preach is over here. And I'm singing and listening to the words, and I'm asking myself and I'm asking the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, is it really the message this morning? Because it don't go with the songs at all. And I thought, but that's the one I've got. That's the one I printed out. That's the scriptures I give you. And as we sung these last two songs, I knew for sure then this morning that that was not the thought God was going to have us use this morning. But the word comfort is found 66 times in your Bible. Now, this verse of scripture is not original. It was used already this morning in the message that we heard, and it's not even the key thought of it, but I'm going to open with this thought. If you would go over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And then if you would stand with us, we're going to read one verse of scripture, and then we will continue on through the others that God has given us this morning. Again, I didn't print them out. Sorry. I thought I would be doing this later. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read in verse 7. And it said, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Father, this morning I thank you and I love you and I praise you. And I ask you, dear God, help me today, Lord, to do what you'd have us to do, to say what you'd have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And dear God, you'll get the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, and amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to think about this, that our life's journey without God is too great for us. And I'll be honest with you this morning, church. I had to, and I'm not going to preach another man's message. That's a thought that God gave him. But as he went through there and everything was said and done, Ned and I sitting there, she goes, wow. All the way down here, I was thinking about what the preacher was preaching on, and I was thinking to myself, wow. The journey in this life is harder than what a lot of times we want to admit. Sometimes it's one of those days there, we'll say that people who say, well, how are you doing today? They really don't want to know how you're doing. They're just making conversation, right? And so we tell them, well, I'm doing fine. Okay, not too bad. Every so often you might run into somebody who says, well, I'm really doing great, you know. But a lot of times when you ask that question, you're just trying to be polite, and you know, but there are some people who really need some comfort, really need some help. And we stop to think about everything that Jesus has done for us. He has done everything to comfort us, to help us. You know, he wants to bring us out of the miry clay. You just think about this. He wants to bring us from where we are to where he is. He wants to give us a new body, to have an entirely new life, one that never has known heartache, pain, suffering, or anything as such as that. And when we get to heaven, there is none of those things there. And that's the whole purpose of God. And the angel of the Lord here talking to Elijah, and the backstory is real simple there. You already know this. The prophets of Baal are dead. Jezebel's threatened his life. He's now kind of in a limbo here. And again, but think about this for just a second there. This verse of scripture, so the angel of the Lord comes to Elijah and he touches him. He wakes him. He gets him up. And he says, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. But I want to tell you, nothing's too big for my God. And I guess you can put that down kind of towards a thought. I can't, but he can. I don't know how, but he does. I don't know when, but he does. I don't know where, but he does. And the truth of the matter is this, sometimes I don't care, but he does. If we just be honest with ourselves this morning, what is too great for us is not for Him. We sing the song, "The waves that are over my head are under His feet." When Peter began to sink because of life situations, he saw the winds and the waves, and it's a representation of life. When he saw that and began to sink, Jesus was still on top of the water. Jesus was still up. And when Peter cried out to Jesus, Jesus immediately reached forth, caught him by the hand, and lifted him up, so that where Jesus was, Peter was, because Peter called on Jesus. And you and I this morning need to call on Jesus. We need to make sure that we're putting our faith and our trust in Him. The word support was something that when I was looking at this and thinking about this, kind of, it really caught me off guard, because I thought support would be found throughout the Bible. And really, you know, there are times when you look up words and you think, man, that's going to be found hundreds of times somewhere in the Bible. Can I tell you, the word support only comes two times in your Bible? I thought that was an amazing, because see, that's a double witness to me. The word two, or the number two, is witness or unity. So if we unify ourselves to the Word of God, we will get the support that we need. But look at this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says this: "I have shewed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now you want to support, you got to give. You think about this for just a second. How many, we can say, "Well, brother, I support you," but never show up. Never amen. Never say a word. Never participate. I mean, I don't know about you, but if somebody never comes to church and never shows up to say anything for the Lord, do you think they support the things of God? And if they say they support you, but you never see them, do they think you really they support you? And when you're on your bottom side, in other words, you done fell face flat out in the mud, and they don't help you up, do you think they support you? But look at what he said. "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Well, Jesus Christ gave His life for you and I. You can't get greater support than that. You can't get any bigger help than that. You and I this morning, if we was to be honest with ourselves, and when we say this honest and truly, if I died, God had every right to send me to hell. God, I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve the Word of God to tell me how to be comforted. I don't deserve the Word of God to show me how He supports me and how He loves me. And I don't deserve your help or my wife's help or anybody else. I don't deserve that. But God did it, because God said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so He gave that we might receive. And if we receive, we're supposed to give back. I can't support you if I don't know that He supports me. Again, these are the things that we find in God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, He says, "Now we exhort you, brother, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support," again, "the weak." I want you to think about this. "Be patient toward all men." We're going to be supporting the weak. How many ever get weak in life's journey? You ever get weak in life's journey? I get weak. I'm being honest with you. Man, there are times whenever, I would say this, there are times when my wife don't even know I'm weak and she just gives me support. There's times when you don't know that I'm weak, but you give me support. You pray for me. You encourage me. You know, there's this times whenever the people just, they do things and you don't even realize, or they don't realize how important it is at that time. That's the way God's working every day in our lives. He's always there for support. He's always there to lift you up. He's always there to encourage you. He's always there to comfort you. I might have to change the thought of my message. I don't know. 66 times, though, we find the word comfort. Can I tell you, I didn't look all of those up because, again, wasn't planning on going down this road. So there's no greater support. You just bear with us. There's no greater comfort. The Lord gives us all of these things beyond what we can imagine. If you go over to the book of Philippians, I was just there the other evening, I think it was, or the other night. I don't remember. Chapter 4, we had a few verses of scripture here. Let me read to you a couple of things throughout this. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true," whatsoever things, verse 8, "are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things." This is God's word telling you how to be supported and how to support. If you go back now, jump back to verse 1 real quick. "Therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast, Lord, my dearly beloved." Just think of what now Paul is saying. He said, "You are important to me. You're precious." Why were we so important? Why were they so important? Because to Paul, he realized that Jesus was important and Jesus was precious. And Jesus looked at them and said, "You know what? You're important and you're precious. I'm pouring out my support for you." We all know the verse 13, right? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's very important to realize this morning that this is God's word trying to comfort you and I, and God's word trying to support you and I, God's word trying to encourage you and I. And when we realize what God is trying to do, we ought to be thankful that He's doing this for you and I. He's giving it all so that we get it all. But again, when you get it all, you got to give some of it away. Amen. The Bible tells us, I'm not going to focus real hard on this, but I'm several places it says, comfort yourselves one with another. Comfort. But think about this. I may not be able to find it. But the Bible tells us, and we read this one a lot in Hebrews chapter 10. I got it here. "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is," but look at this. "But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." With the approaching return of the Lord, the Bible tells me is going to be a time of hardship. "As in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be a peace walk. It's not going to be sitting down by the creek, putting your feet in the creek there, and just enjoying life and catching fish right and left. There's going to be some things. So we're supposed to exhort one another, which means remind one another of the words of God. And in that, we will strengthen one another, encourage one another, comfort one another. The days that we see ahead of us, depending on whether or not you listen to the Bible or Fox News or CNN, I don't know. I just say this way. They're always saying our best days are ahead of us. Can I tell you, for the child of God, your best day is ahead of you. Your best day. Because that's the day you get into heaven, and it's always day and never night. But while we're in this walk of life, it's not, our best days are not ahead of us. It's going to get rough as time goes on. But can I tell you this? The faith we put in Christ Jesus, when the times get rough, the better off we're going to be. And we're going to be able to look around and say, you know what? I know it's falling apart, but I've still got my hand in God's hand, and He's got His hand around me, and I'm good. It's very careful. If you go over there into Matthew chapter 17. Now, I'm going to reach in and I'm going to pull this out, not to take it completely out of context, but really to apply it to a deeper, to a wider range. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence ye to yonder place, and it shall be, or shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible with you, unto you." Now this is talking about our faith and our trust in God, and the ability that what we say or do in the will of God, through the plan and the purpose of God, with the power and the strength of God, it has to take place. But not of ourselves. See, that's the problem we have a lot of times in life, is we want to do something of ourselves so that we will get the accolade for it and the data boys for it. And when it's all said and done, we're the ones that everybody's loving. But Jesus is talking about having the faith of a mustard seed so that you can accomplish the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. And you do it under God's authority. And you do it knowing this, that you can't do it, but God can do it. And the faith that you're exercising is that nothing is impossible for God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, just before this, Jesus is talking to them about salvation. They say, "Who then can be saved?" And he says this, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." For with God, salvation is not impossible because of God. Jesus gave everything. He gave His lifeblood, every drop of blood. When they pierced Him in the side, the Bible says water and blood did gush forth. Think about this. Now, this might be something that people don't want to think about, but I'm going to put it out there anyways. You know, the Bible shows us illustrations a lot of times that we don't comprehend. His hands were pierced, but they were up. Think about this for a second. His feet were pierced, but they're down. These are holes, and no doubt in my mind, but the blood vessels in the feet and the hands are not near the capacity of the blood vessels in your side, your lungs, your heart. Places in that aspect. When they punched the holes in his hand, they punched the holes in his feet, they punched the holes in his head, the crown of thorns, it was all in this, and there was blood. But when they thrust it into the side, they cut stuff that let him bleed freely. There's a deep meaning right there, church. That's free blood. Given to you and I freely. When they thrust it in there, they made sure that his blood did shed. Think about it for just a second. Now the Bible tells us all the things that it tells us. That his bones were not going to be broken, so they had to do it a certain way in order to keep his bones from being broken. But do you realize this? They could have been suffisive, and God's word has to be fulfilled, but they could have been suffisive, and they could have just said he's dead, but instead they wanted to make sure, and when they did so, they pierced, they cut the vital organ, the returning areas. Your blood goes through this side of your body, returns back to your heart through this side of your body. I don't know what side they punched, but it seemed obvious to me they punched it on the return side so it couldn't go back. I may be wrong. But he was pierced. He bled freely. Nothing's impossible for him. Nothing. Again, Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at this. Now unto him that is able, how many of you realize that only God is able to do certain things? If God enables you, you can do it. But if God don't enable you, he's still able. There's a big difference right there. But he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a separate thought right there. There's a comma right there. Think about this for just a second, church. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. So with God, there's nothing impossible.
Amen.
So he says, according to the power which worketh in us. Church, do you realize as a child of God that God works within you to accomplish his will, his plan, his purpose? There is nothing too big for God. There's nothing too great for God. And while you're going through the refining fire, sometimes it's not so that God can make you smaller, put cracks in you, or burn you up. It's so that when you come out, you're stronger and more capable than you ever thought you could be. You realize the greatest support in your life is God.
Amen.
The greatest comfort you can get is God. The greatest strength comes from God. My inability is not limited, does not limit his ability. Your stubbornness does not stop him from accomplishing his will. If you don't want to, he'll find somebody who will. I'm just thankful for that. Now let me read this and I'll close. Nehemiah chapter 10, or chapter 8, verse 10 says this. Then he said unto them, go ye your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them that whom have nothing to spread, prepare. The day of rejoicing, for the day is a holy day, or holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why did Paul in Philippians 4:4 say, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice because we're told the joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoicing in the Lord and loving him and honoring him sets us to realize this, that again, as we go through life, there's nothing more than what we can. God's going to accomplish what he wants to in our lives. God is going to do what he wants to do. In 1 Samuel 17, David going to fight Goliath, and there, and think about this, he says this in the assembly. He said, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by the sword and not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. If God has the battle, church, you and I are in good hands. So So he said, and he will give Goliath you into our hands. God has been so good to me. I've been blessed. I would that I could be so good to God that I'd be a blessing. I thank God for everything He's done in spite of what I've not done, and then again in spite of what I have done. The blessings of God are unnumberable. The love of God is deeper than we can realize. The strength of the Lord is more than we can comprehend. Yet the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. I'm thankful this morning, and I'm grateful. And I praise God for everything He's done for me. Again, His salvation, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my brothers, my sisters, my church family. I'm just so thankful this morning. And I pray that God will strengthen you, encourage you, and keep you, will bless you, bring you through whatever you're going through, help you in whatever you're struggling with. We're going to dismiss this a little different this morning. I want you to stand this morning. Brother Sir Leah, again, the girls want to as well. Stand back there with your mom here in just a minute. I'm going to pray for the church. Dismiss us. You be back tonight if you can. 4:00, we'll be here. Wednesday night, I haven't decided yet. Praying about that. Father, to this morning, Lord, we are so thankful, so grateful for everything that You've done. Lord, so blessed by all that You've done. Lord, thanking You this morning for allowing us to be here. Father, to have these as our church family, dear God, we're so appreciative of and thankful for. Lord, I'm asking You this morning, dear God, as we come into a time of thanksgiving, Lord, that we would truly be thankful for everything You do. In return, give You praise and honor and glory. And then pray one for another. It's a blessing, Lord, to be Christian. A husband, a dad, a granddad. And Lord, then to have the favor that You give us to be a pastor. And people to support us and love our family and pray for us and encourage us, dear God. Or sometimes I think I'm a driver constantly beating. But Lord, I love these folks. You know that. So I'm asking You, Lord God, this morning, bless them special. Hold them tenderly. Comfort them greatly. And lead us all faithfully. Lord, we're so thankful this morning. We give You praise and we give You glory for it. We thank You for this body. Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. If you would give Brother Sir.